Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing it is to see our young people stand up and make a declaration like that, that decision that they've made, choose to be a Christian. And praise the Lord for that. How many of you excited and grateful for a warm place to come inside? And it certainly has been a very cold day today. And I think we have been spoiled this winter. And so now we're paying for it. But we praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house this evening. If you'll take your Bibles and turn them to James in chapter 1 this evening, James chapter 1. It's been a while since we've been in the book of James, and so we started this back in November, and then of course because of the holidays and different schedules, I think the last time we were in the book of James on a Sunday night was November 24th, and so we've been going through this epistle. It's a general epistle dealing with practical Christianity, and James, the half-brother of Jesus, is written this epistle to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And they've been scattered from their homeland. They're facing persecution. And one of the themes that we find in this book and what we're studying as we go through this book is the idea of spiritual maturity, the marks of spiritual maturity. And as these people were scattered from their homeland, from everything they knew, it was important that they would continue to grow in Christ. And the Bible says they took the gospel with them. Churches began to spring up all over the place, and many times God advances His word through persecution. And we see that here in the scriptures. And so as they were moving in that direction, as the world was moving away from God, Christians need to be moving towards God. And we find that in the day and age in which we live, our world is moving away from God at a rapid pace. And listen, as we observe Christianity, many churches today, they may not be where the world is, but they certainly are moving towards the world. And it's important for us as Christians that we move towards God, that we run towards God. And so, especially in our time of difficulty, and so we've been looking at these marks of spiritual maturity and a couple lessons that we studied first of all that the spiritually mature Christian is patient in testing. Listen, we know that we're going to go through trials. How many of you have been through a trial in your life at some point? I think all of us have, right? And so it's important that we're patient in those times and we wait on God. And so trials are a part of this life. They make up this life. And then we looked at the second lesson is that the mature Christian asks for godly wisdom. I tell you, the greatest thing that you have need of in the midst of the trial is not for the removal of that trial, but just for right thinking. Of course, Pastor preached on that this morning as well. What a great blessing that was. But we understand the need for godly wisdom, and it's available. And so tonight we come to verse 9, and we're going to preach verses 9 down through verse 12. So if you're able to stand tonight, I invite you to stand this evening as we read James chapter 1, verses 9 through verse 12 tonight. The Bible says in verse 9, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." And then you'll find there's a colon there, and so verse 9 and verse 10 are connected. "But the rich in that he is made low." The connecting thought there is that while the brother of low degree would rejoice in that he is exalted, in salvation, those who are wealthy, what a great blessing that they would stop trusting in their riches and humble themselves to be able to trust in Christ for salvation. It's an important thought there. "But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." And then verse 12, which would also be the key verse for chapter 1, in dealing with trials, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And the message tonight, the mark of spiritual maturity, or the lesson that we're looking at, is this, especially in difficulty, that as a Christian, we wouldn't find our identity in the wealth that we may have, or the possessions that we might have, or the status that we might have, or even in our circumstances, but that we would find our identity in Christ. So important as we go through difficulty, because our circumstances will fluctuate. It's so important that we find our identity in who Christ is. That's the mark of spiritual maturity that we're going to study tonight. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for this church and what a great blessing it is for us to be able to come here and, Lord, to be able to fellowship and hear preaching from your word and hear the music that we've heard throughout the day today. And Lord, we are refreshed for having been in your house. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. Help me as I preach through this passage. And I pray that I would say exactly what you'd have me to say. I pray for each and every person that has come here tonight. Lord, they've come out in the cold and they're seeking for you to speak to them, Lord. And I pray that you would do just that, Lord. Help us to apply this scripture and this passage to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. James begins this passage with the powerful truth, the idea that in Christ there are no rich and there are no poor. That as Christ looks out upon his children, though we come from various backgrounds, though we might come through different circumstances, we are all saved in the same manner through humbling ourselves and asking him to forgive us. What a wonderful truth that we see here in this passage. And so as we study through this, this passage really speaks of three things that Christ does for us in salvation. So I want you to see that, first of all, we find that Christ unites us. In salvation, we are united in Christ. In other words, in Christ, we are all equal. There in verses 9 and 10, we mentioned this before, but he says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low." Remember, James is writing to Christians here, and so I have written in my Bible that Christians are equal in Christ. What a great truth for us to understand tonight that all God's children are seen as equal. Someone has once said that the ground is level at the cross. That we come to Christ in the same way. It's a humbling of ourselves, and then in Christ, in salvation, the rich and the poor are equal because they're in Christ. James would even address this in chapter 2, and we'll look at this as we go through the study later on and in some weeks from now. But the idea there, listen, aren't you glad that when you come to church, you're not labeled as wealthy or of a high fashion or poor? Aren't you glad those labels are removed in Christ, that we are all seen as children of God? What a great blessing that we see there. And so we find that Christ unites us, and in salvation, he gives us a new identity. I love that truth. I love that thought tonight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Aren't you glad that the day you were saved, Christ gave you a new identity? Aren't you so thankful that you're no longer labeled or defined by how you used to be before salvation, but Christ has given you a new identity, and there ought to be a change as we live the Christian life. He ought to come inside of us and change us as we live the Christian life. And so possibly before Christ, you may have been labeled as lowly or insignificant. I think about this. Before I came to Christ, I wasn't important. You know, most people, as they live this life without Christ, there really is not a whole lot of meaning and a whole lot of purpose. And possibly before Christ, you asked yourself, is there really a purpose in this life? But when you got saved, God gave you a purpose. What a powerful truth that is tonight, that in Christ, he unites us and he gives us a new identity. I love us thought, maybe before Christ you were labeled as lowly. We see that there, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." It is Christ that does the exalting in our lives. Christ lifts us up. And the Bible reveals that while you may have been lowly, you may have been insignificant before you were saved, that in Christ you are labeled as a child of the King. You're labeled as an heir to Christ. I love the thought in Galatians chapter 4, and we don't have time to study it there this evening, but let me read a verse to you there in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible speaking about us being heirs to God, and the Bible says in verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Tonight, Christ, God is our heavenly Father. That word Abba has with it that idea of that paternal relationship that a child would have with their father. It's like a little child would look to their dad and they would say, Daddy, I have a need. I think about as my kids, as they were young, listen, my kids didn't sit around wondering if they were going to have a meal to eat. They didn't wonder if the bills were going to be paid. Those things weren't any concern to them. In fact, even now, listen, the only question is, Dad, what is for dinner? Seems like when I pick them up from school, that's the first question. I say, hey, how was school? And they say, hey, Dad, what's for dinner? They want to know. They don't care where the things come from. They just know that Mom and Dad are going to provide those things for them. And yet I love that thought because in Christ, He gives us a new identity. We're seen as children of the King, heirs to the throne. Listen, as a child of God, no matter what you were before salvation, in Christ, you've been exalted. And the Bible says you're to rejoice in that. Listen, we can go through this life and we can go through some times of difficulty. But let's never forget who we are in Christ. And we can rejoice, and we can rejoice when the weather is 10 degrees outside. Because in Christ, we are children of God. Isn't it wonderful that we who are of so many different backgrounds, different cultures, different economies, different generations, and all of us can come together and we can be unified in Christ because of what He's done for us in salvation? We can have that commonality with one another. And so James reminds us that in Christ we now find our identity. So the first thing that Christ does for us in salvation, He unites us as the children of God. He gives us a new identity. Now listen, that's an important truth that we must understand. Because we find that Christ unites us, and that's found in verses 9 and 10. But then in verse 10 we find out why that's important. Because the Bible reveals to us that Christ and He alone can sustain us. Listen, Christ unites us, and that's so important because Christ and He alone, He's the only one that can sustain you. Especially as you go through difficulty. Listen, so many people look to things to sustain them. They find their identity in positions and in things, and yet in Christ we find our identity in Him. And the reason that's important is because when we go through difficulty, we can identify with Him and find that only He can sustain us. The Bible says there in verse 10, but the rich, the idea there is that he can rejoice in that he is made low and that he stopped trusting in his riches and he humbled himself to place his faith and trust in Christ. And then he says, this is why it's important, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. One of the things that we find this evening from this passage is that everything else outside of Christ is just temporary. In fact, one of the truths that we find here in this passage is that even life itself is temporary. The life that we hold and we cling to so dearly in this life, the Bible reveals that it's just temporary. Listen, as a Christian, it's so important that you find your identity in Christ because everything else is simply temporary. Let me remind you the context of this passage. It's trials and difficulty. James is writing to these Christians that are going through trials and difficulty. Do you realize tonight that trials are no respecter of persons? It's not as though you go into the doctor's office and you sit down with the doctor and he says, hey, before I diagnose you with this disease, what is your net worth? How many people depend on you? Do you have a family? It's not as though as we look to these trials that they play favorites or they protect certain people of certain statuses. And so we understand tonight that trials, they're no respecter of persons. In other words, listen, everybody goes through difficulty, regardless of how much money you have in the bank, regardless of if you have people that depend on you. And so possessions or fame, listen, they do you no good when it comes to a life-threatening situation. You know, as Christians, sometimes we get this backwards. We find happiness and we find joy in things. We find happiness and joy in situations or status or circumstances. In other words, listen, we may say this, well, I'm thankful for the home that God has given to me, but if I could just have a bigger home, a nicer home, and maybe then I would be happy. If I could just have a nicer car, or if I could just be in a relationship, then I would find happiness. Or if I could just get that promotion at work, or if I could just get a raise, then I would find happiness. And rather than that, than finding our happiness and joy in Christ, we look for it in things. I mean, that's part of what these people are dealing with as James is writing to them. There's some people that are looking for their happiness and possessions and in wealth and in status. You see, the problem is our status and our circumstances, our possessions, they change, don't they? They fluctuate. I remember my first paycheck. I was thinking about this week as I was studying for this message. I remember I think it was a freshman in high school, and I got a job working for our church back in Cleveland, and I was cleaning bathrooms and doing that glamorous type of work. And I remember my first summer there being able to work 8 hours a day, working full time, and I began to do the math. I began to look at how much I was getting paid, minimum wage, not that much. Began to look at how many hours I was working. And I remember the first time my first paycheck came out. And I ran to the mailbox where it was located, and I brought it back. And I remember the place I was standing in our church when I opened that paycheck up. And it had like three figures on it. I had over $100. I remember, listen, honestly, I had this thought, I am rich. I'd never had that kind of money. I remember looking at that, and listen, we chuckle at that, and I certainly look back and I chuckle at that because, listen, I can tell you this, I have no idea where that money went. I probably spent it within just a few days. And yet the truth is, listen, our bank account will fluctuate, won't it? Our status, our circumstances, our possessions, those things change. And yet, when we find our identity in Christ, when He becomes the source of our joy, when He becomes our strength and our hope and our happiness, we find the great truth that He will never fluctuate. Amen. Listen, it's so important that as Christians, we find our identity in Christ and that He becomes the rock to which we cling, especially when we go through difficulty. Listen, because circumstances do change. But Christ will never change. I love the truth found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, where the Bible says, just a page over, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, what a powerful God that we serve. He doesn't change. And yet the danger is that we would live the Christian life attempting to find happiness in things. And James is writing these Christians, and listen, he's telling them, find your identity in Christ. Rejoice that in Christ He has exalted you. If you were wealthy when you came into salvation, rejoice that you humbled yourself and Christ gave you new identity, and now Christ is the one that exalts you. Can I remind you tonight that the rich man who stops trusting in his riches so that he may trust in Christ as a far wealthier man for it. Why don't you turn to Luke in chapter 18. We see this truth portrayed in Luke in chapter 18. Jesus was with his disciples when a very wealthy man comes to him. And this wealthy man begins to ask Jesus, what can I do to obtain eternal life? And he begins to tell Jesus about how good of a person he's been. Tells him how he's kept the commandments from the time he was a child. And listen, we find the classic case of someone trusting in themselves. What did Jesus say to him? He said, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have eternal life. And the idea there was that Jesus was not saying that you can't be wealthy and be a Christian, but Jesus was saying, listen, you can't trust in your possessions. You can't trust in yourself to get you to heaven. You have to give up your trust in those things so that you may trust me, and then I can give you eternal life. I love it because Peter, he says there in verse 28, he's been listening to this whole conversation. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. He says, Lord, we've done exactly that. We've just heard what you've told this man, and we've turned our back on everything that we had before we met you. We've done exactly that. And truthfully, the disciples had. And I love verse 29. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Listen, when Christ becomes our identity, when we place our trust in Him and Him alone, when we find our identity in Him, listen, we will find that He alone sustains us. As we go through the trials of this life, He alone sustains us. Can I tell you, there's a contextual illustration found there in the book of James. James is writing to Christians who are living in the first century. This letter would have come to them, and listen, we understand that living under the first century under Roman rule and Roman authority would not have been kind to those that were Christians. James is writing to Christians who literally have said goodbye to a job because they chose to place their faith and trust in Christ. Some of them have said goodbye to family relationships, and some have said goodbye to business partnerships or housing. And listen, because of the stigma that it would have been to live under the Roman authority and to profess your faith and trust in Christ, it was like an employer said, "Well, you can follow after Christ, but you're no longer working here." There's family members that would have looked to their family and said, "Well, listen, you can trust in Christ if you want to, but because of what that means, you can no longer live in this house." And here, I think we have a hard time understanding the type of persecution that they were under because, listen, living in America, it's really been quite easy to be a Christian, hasn't it? We have the religious freedom. We have the ability to assemble. And by and large, the most part, we're really not going through persecution. I'm not saying that may not be something that we deal with in the future, but at least for right now. And it certainly seems as our world goes further and further away from Christ, that may be the case. But here's people that, when they chose to identify with Christ in salvation, they had to give up some circumstances. They had to give up some good things in their life. And while this would have been a difficult decision, let me help you understand something. These found their identity in Christ. He became the rock that they clung to in their time of difficulty. It was no longer in a type of status or a circumstance that they had, but Christ was who they had to cling to. I tell you, as Christians tonight, we need to get to a place where Christ and He alone is what sustains us in this life. That listen, as the circumstances may fluctuate and as we may go through difficult times, that we would find our identity in Christ and Him alone. Notice in verse 11, we find there that riches are fleeting. He says, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." The illustration here is that of a flower. And we understand that a flower has a very limited window. Sometimes flowers really can bud, and they might bud overnight, and they may bloom, and because of the heat of the sun, very quickly that flower begins to wither away. And I love that thought there. He says, "Even the grace of the fashion of it perisheth." The idea there, that flower looks so beautiful, but it's almost like it's a facade because so very quickly, as soon as that flower opens, it begins to wither away. It begins to die away. And yet that's the comparison drawn here to a person, a Christian who trusts in something other than Christ to sustain them. We find that those things are so very quickly gone. Whether it is a possession, whether it is some finances, listen, you realize, and I know you do, those things can be gone just like that. It can be so very easily taken away from us. And yet that's the picture of a person who trusts in something other than Christ to sustain them. A Christian who may go through this life and look for this possession and might tightly cling to it, and they find their hope and they find their identity in that thing. And James is writing and saying, no, find your identity in Christ. Realize He is the one that can sustain you. I tell you, it's an amazing thing to watch a Christian who's finding their strength in Christ as they walk through a valley. As you look out, and one of the blessings of being in the ministry is you get to be around families and you get to observe as they go through difficult valleys. And I tell you, it's such a blessing to watch people find their identity in Christ. Look for Him to sustain them through a difficulty. And yet I also tell you this, it's very evident when we watch someone go through a valley while clinging to something other than Christ to get them through. Verse 11, the end of it, is such a sad indictment, especially because it's talking to those of us that are Christians. The grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. That person that identifies with his wealth or maybe his status, listen, the picture of that is that man simply fades away in his ways. I can't tell you how many times I've knocked on a door out soul winning. Begin to speak to someone and I ask them, you know, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? And they can give a testimony of salvation. Then I'll follow that up. Do you go to church anywhere? And many times I've been talking to someone and it's almost as a wall of bitterness begins to creep over their face. They say something like this, well, I used to go to church and then this happened. I used to go to church and then this person offended me. You see, they were going through a hard time and they weren't looking to Christ. They were looking maybe to a relationship with another person, or maybe they were looking to a circumstance to kind of help them get through. And when those things changed, they fell away from God. They got out of church. A bitterness began to come up in their life, and because of a person, maybe a person hurting them. Or listen, I want to tell you, I'm truly sorry for those that have been hurt, especially when another Christian is the one that's hurt them and in the name of Christ. But I'm telling you, listen, Christ can help you, and Christ will help you get through the hurt if you'll simply find your hope in Him. And tonight, as we go through this life, listen, there are difficulties that are coming. There are trials that we're going to face as we go through this life, and these things will hurt. And listen, I'm not telling you tonight as Christians that we're going to be immune to the difficulties that other people go through. But I'm telling you, when we find our hope in Christ, when we find our identity in Christ, He can sustain us and He can help us through those times of difficulty. We must find our hope and we must find our identity in Him. How do we do that? By becoming completely dependent upon Him. Listen, not dependent upon the money that we have in the bank, not dependent upon the good circumstances that we have surrounding us. Well, in other words, if life is good, then everything is good, but if life throws me a curveball, then I fall apart. No, we have to be completely dependent upon Him, realizing He alone will sustain us in difficulty. So we find the truth, the second truth. First truth tonight, Christ unites us. He gives us a new identity. Christ sustains us. And then finally, verse 12, Christ rewards us. What a great blessing we see here in this passage. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Would you notice a few things in this passage before we finish tonight? Notice there's a certainty of trials. The Bible says there in verse 12, for when he is tried. We studied that a few weeks ago in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Listen, there's a certainty of difficulty. We mentioned before, listen, it doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved, you're going to go through difficult trials. And so as a Christian, how do you prepare for difficulty? As I look across this audience tonight, some of you might find yourself in the midst of a difficulty right now. You may be in the midst of a trial, and then other people are saying, Brother Andy, things are pretty good right now. Can I tell you, no matter where we are, we will go through trials and we will go through difficulties. We're either in one right now or there's one on the horizon. So how do you prepare for difficulty? Well, one of the things that we have to do is we must build our faith in God, especially in the good times. Let's turn over to Jude 20. Jude, in the book of Jude in verse 20. I want to see this very quickly. As we go through difficulty, One of the responsibilities that we have is that we would build our faith in God. The Bible says in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." One of the ways that we prepare for difficulty is simply by building our faith in God. Listen, as Christians, we must be progressing in the Christian life. A growing Christian is a healthy Christian. You know, as you live this Christian life, there ought never to be a time in which you aren't growing in Christ. And we're building up our faith. How do we do that? Through reading the Bible, through praying, and through applying Scripture. Reading God's Word, praying, and applying Scripture. Listen, as we open up God's Word in the morning or whenever you do your devotion time, you read God's Word, you pray, and you apply it to your life. As you come to church and you hear the preaching of God's Word, you read the Word of God, you pray, and you apply it to your life. I tell you, it's so important to apply God's Word to our life. As the preached Word goes out, as God begins to speak to your heart, as you apply it to your life, you're building up your faith. Why? Because we know we're going to go through difficulties. Listen, one of the reasons the invitation is so important is so that we can come and we can deal with God and allow Him to work in our hearts, and we can make the decisions that we have need of before we leave this place as we read God's Word and as we pray and as we apply it to our life. And so we find that there's a certainty of trials, and then we find here in this passage that there's the ability to endure. He says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." I'm so thankful tonight that we have the ability to go through difficulties and endure those things. How do we do that? Well, through Christ. Sometimes we make this statement, "Well, I don't know how much longer I can hold on. I don't know how much more I can take as I go through this trial or this difficulty." And the truth is, listen, in your own strength, you probably can't hang on. But in the strength of Christ, the Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint." What a great blessing for us to understand that in Christ He can renew our strength. One of the reasons church is so important is because that's where our strength is renewed. We come and we have the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. I love it when we come on Sundays because it's almost like we get our batteries recharged and we're able to go back into the world and able to live in the world. And then we come back on Wednesday night and we hear the preaching of God's Word. And listen, we need these things over and over and over again. So there's the ability to endure. And then the promise of eternal rewards. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That idea of eternal rewards. Listen, in the midst of difficulty, Satan will probably whisper, "What's the point? Why are you continuing to live the way that you're living? Why do you continue to go to church? You're in the midst of a trial. Why do you continue to serve God? What's the point?" Well, the point is that there's an eternity. That this here is just temporary. That what we do here, listen, matters in eternity. Not if we'll go to heaven. Because if you're saved, you will go to heaven. But the idea of eternal rewards, they're in heaven. For simply enduring the trial. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're finished in just a minute. Acts in chapter 1. In the book of Acts, especially in chapter 1, we see the ascension of Christ. His disciples are standing around, and they're watching Jesus ascend into heaven. And I can't imagine what they were thinking at that time. For the past 3 years, that He has been their identity. They've walked with Him. They've turned their back on everything else, and now they see Him going to heaven. And I think about this because we understand what the days and weeks and years ahead are going to mean to them. It's going to mean some persecution. It's going to mean some difficult times for them. And in fact, history records that most of them, if not all of them, suffered a martyr's death for their faith. Do you think the devil came to them from time to time and said, "Is it really worth it? that you continue to live for Christ. But I want you to look in verse 10 of Acts chapter 1. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Those angels there reminded them that what you're dealing with here is just temporary. But Jesus is coming back one of these days. I want to encourage you tonight, because you may find yourself in the midst of a trial and Satan may come to you and say, "What's the point?" And the point is this, that Jesus will return for us one of these days. And it's our job right now to live for him, understanding that, first of all, Christ unites us. He gives us a new identity. And then Christ sustains us. As we go through difficulty, listen, we can find our hope and we can find our help in him. And then, in eternity, Christ rewards us. We find that James, as he's writing to these Christians, the message for them is this: don't find your identity in things. Don't find your identity in circumstances, in good times or in bad times. Find your identity in Christ. He's the one that can sustain you. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Christ is the one that sustains us. I don't know how the Lord may have used this in your life. Maybe you are in the midst of a difficulty right now. Maybe you're find yourself in the midst of a trial. Listen, I tell you, first and foremost, we as Christians, we must find our help in him. If you're in the midst of a trial, the first thing that you have need of is godly wisdom as you go through that difficulty. It will help you to think right. And then we find our hope and our identity in him. He sustains us through that difficulty. Maybe there's someone here that simply just needs to pray and say, "God, would you please help me just to continue to find my strength in you?" Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful for who you are. Lord, I'm thankful for these that have gathered here tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the word of God that we can apply to our hearts and our lives. And I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Do a work in our hearts and our lives as we do this invitation, Lord, as we respond to you. I pray that we would make the decisions that we have need of. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.